Hey guys, it's Tuesday, time for another Tom Girl Tuesday. We are on episode 45, and I'm with guitarist, Fender Play Rep, and cat lover, Jen Tranny. Stay tuned!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, so cool. We got the cat lover in there. Yes. Hey guys, welcome back. We have a very special guest, Jen Tranny, here today. This is her tunes right now. Listen up.
Magic.
It is. I love it.
It's all dance.
It gets you in that mood, right?
Yeah, Oh yeah. I just listen to myself play and dance, you know?
Do you do that a lot around your place?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of friends, so, you know, I gotta just create the music and then create my own dance party.
Yeah. Yeah. Candles. Wine flowing. I see it.
With my cat. I didn't think you were actually going to throw up my cat in the very beginning. I thought you were going to make me seem a little bit cooler, and then we'd kind of throw in...
I was going to wait for it, but you threw it out there yesterday, so I'm like, I'm just putting it out there right now. So let's talk about that. Well, first, tell everybody where they can follow you on social media.
You can follow me on Instagram at Jen Tranny, J-E-N-T-R-A-N-I. Twitter at Jen Needs a Nap. And that's true. I need a nap. Most days. Several times a day. And then just Jen Tranny Official on Facebook. So I'm anywhere you want.
And I threw out the cat because you have a cat named Soup.
Yes, right? I have a cat named Soup. Yes.
Real quick, before we dive into you, where'd the name come from?
I really wanted to irritate my friends with a dumb cat name. Because all my friends just had cats and they loved them. And it took me a while to like cats. Mm-hmm. I was very confused by them. Yeah. And so I thought, I'm gonna figure out the dumbest name to irritate them. The first one was Staple, and they wouldn't let me get away with that. And then I said Soup, because I was just looking around my apartment like, what do I have? I have Soup. And then it stuck. And
I love it.
He's a dum-dum, and it's amazing, and I have a tattoo of him, and... It's ridiculous.
I was going to ask if
Yes. He is my best friend.
I get that. My doggy's my best friend, too.
Yeah.
Yep. We're going to get into your tattoos later, too. That's something
great.
I want to ask about.
Great. Okay, so cool stuff.
Yeah.
Guitar playing and tattoos, not just cats.
Yeah, I guess we'll do that, too. Well, let's start with the guitar playing. So I think we have a picture of you at a really young age here with a guitar. Goodness. So let's first talk about how you first began playing and where this love started.
That was taken last week. That was last week. Just got my hair cut. Yeah. When I loved music. My grandmother bought me a record player. And I just loved it. So I kept trying to get into some kind of instrument. I played saxophone for a half a second. I was horrible at that. Piano, horrible at that. And then my mom had a guitar up in the attic. And I was like, hey, I want to try that. And so for my 13th birthday, she got the guitar restrung, and we had this little hard shell case, and she put my initials with stickers, aww, with little music note stickers.
That's cute.
And I got this little VHS of how to play guitar, and I said, I just want to do this on my own. Like, I don't want to take lessons. I just want to figure this out on my own, because I'm super shy, super, super shy. And so I think just having the thing where I could kind of figure it out on my own terms without being so vulnerable in lessons or being kind of told what to do was really important to me. So she's just like, cool, go for it. Because she didn't really have to spend any money on it. Mm-hmm. And I had a stop and a start in the beginning where I was learning stuff, but it was so boring. And I'm learning from this book, and it's like, hang down your head, Tom Dooley, and just these super happy, I'll show you, these really pretty chords, and I'm 13, right? You know, playing chords like this does not speak to my anger, my 13-year-old anger, you know what I mean? In my angst towards, everybody. So I just was like, this is dumb, and it hurts, and whatever. And so I stopped playing for a little bit, and then was bored, and I came back to it. And I watched this video, and they had Scarborough Fair. And they had, it opens up in the video with this E minor chord. And I remember hearing it and just going there it is. This is everything. And then I learned these super dark chords. I was like, this is it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start writing songs. And I just wrote horrible, horribly sad songs that I made my mom listen to every day when she got home from work, you know? And it was really just on from there. I don't know why. I really do say that I think that the guitar picked me. I don't know why. I don't know why this stuck. It just did. Mm-hmm. And I haven't stopped. It's been, oh my God, it's been 23 years and I haven't stopped. So great.
Let's talk about some of the things you've done over those 23 years, because you've been in the Jen and Abby band. You've been in a lot of different things. So kind of talk about how the growth and the progression of your career.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, you saw me how many years ago? 10 years?
At least 10 to 12, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a while ago. It's been a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I came out to LA when I was 19, so like 17 years ago. And like I said, I'm very, very shy. And had this really long hair. Do you saw me with the long, long hair?
Or
had
I think it was still short. I think it was like here.
Okay. When I first started playing with Abby, just like long, long hair. And I would just sit on the stool while she did, you know, the Abby thing. Uh-huh. And just like look down. And I was just so painfully shy. But it was Abby and another group that I was playing with. This guy's name was Sasha Sackett, and we toured a bunch, and that band forced me out of my shell, because we would have like these performance rehearsals, and they'd be like, you need to kick your leg. And I'm like, oh, no, no, what is happening? And the band's like, it's okay. You're a lead guitar player. Like, you need to, whoops, sorry about that. Sorry about that, little bumblebee. like, you need to go for it. And so I got trained to be able to perform, and then,
man. With them, like, through.
Yeah. And because we toured a bunch with that band, and then obviously working with Abby Miller, she is a light. She's a tornado of a light. And to have to match her energy and her enthusiasm, you know, so she comes into play also later when we talk about, like, the videos. Mm-hmm. Then I was playing with Abby, doing some other stuff, and then I started doing the tutorials for a company called Mahalo. And it's funny, because again, like, super, super shy, not wanting to be in the spotlight, but I started doing these tutorials, and they're like, hey, can you make it bigger, like, when you're teaching guitar? And so the first couple tutorials are an impression of Abby and my mom, because that's the only way I knew how to, like, I was like, well, I'm just going to imitate this because I don't know. This is not how I talk. This is not who I am. I have been very, very blessed in the people that I've been able to work with that haven't fired me and just said, here's what you, like, come here. Mm-hmm. Get this, do this, come back in a week, or, you know, whatever it was that, you know, none of this came naturally to me. None of it was easy or, like, you know, when we, especially with musicians or artists, we think that, like, oh, you just have it or you don't. Mm-hmm. That's not true. It's so not true. Because I didn't have it, but because I got very lucky with so many amazing mentors and collaborators to say, this is what you need to do. Then I started to get more confidence, and then more tattoos. The tattoos came and more guitars.
Can you talk about how that was emotionally a little bit for you? Because I know, because I struggle with that same thing. It's like, you want to, there's this artist side of you, but then we're also very introverted. And it's hard. So kind of how you felt yourself shifting and going through that and, like, gaining the confidence and being more comfortable in front.
So I remember the show that it happened at, where I was like, oh, I have power to entertain or have power over the audience. Because this guy, Matt, who was the Sasha's manager, was the one who was doing the performance rehearsals. And he was like, look at me until I look away. You know, I'm an audience member. Look at me until I look away. And I hated that. I was just like, I kind of like look and then, you know, turn my head. And he's like, no, do it again. And so we were doing a ton of these performance rehearsals, and we had a show. And I remember being on stage and playing a lead, and I looked at somebody, some tall woman in the audience, and I didn't look away from her until she looked away. And I kind of kept doing that. And then at the end of my solo, like, the crowd erupted. And I remember just going, like, oh my gosh, that he was right. Like I people are wanting to connect with me mm-hmm. when I'm on stage or connect with the artist, you know, that they're seeing. And if you give that back to them, you know, they will follow you anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll mm-hmm. be so loyal and appreciative. And then also for me getting that energy back, because I wasn't, you know, like yeah. this and hiding from like, oh, I'm going to hide behind this microphone. Mm-hmm. You know, like I hope nobody sees me. You know, so yeah. then I was able to receive more mm-hmm. and give more. So it was just like, it was just a really slow progression of like, oh, this can actually be fun to have an intimacy with the mm-hmm. audience and to be there with them during the show. Mm-hmm.
And I watched your instructional videos like on YouTube and stuff. And what I felt was I was like, gosh, she's so just natural. And like, mm-hmm. I thought it was great because it was like, I even had the thought of like, how should she just like... I felt like you were talking. Sometimes, you know, you see like you're not talking to anybody or mm-hmm. you're just out there. But I felt, no, she's like connecting to the, like, she's so just feels comfortable and owning her stuff and like very knowledgeable, of course, of what you were talking about. So, I mean, I wouldn't have never guessed that you like struggled with that or, you know, had problems doing that.
Well, but the funny thing is that I was actually just talking to my mom about this when I was a kid. I'm not joking about like the no friends thing. That we got like a little video camera and I would stay in my room and like play guitar and like talk to the camera and do like little skits by myself. So that seemed very normal. Cause the thing is when we're recording, there's nobody there, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I'd have a producer and sometimes the producer would be out, not even in the room doing editing, like live editing. So I'm literally there by myself. So to me, that was easy because I'm just like, la, 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 da, 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 da. You know, and then you yeah. put me in front of like an audience and I'm like, oh, dear. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So I've gotten that feedback before too of like people are shocked that, you know, they think I'm an extrovert. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I'm an extrovert when I'm by myself mm-hmm. and then I can yeah. do whatever I want.
Yeah. Well, these videos, you got like millions of hits on them. And then we'll also talk about, so then you're working with Fender. So could you maybe show, we were talking about maybe going through something you would show people, beginning guitar people on a video like that. Like
yeah, sure. Like, absolutely.
Give a little sample of what you guys might get. But definitely go on YouTube and check out all of her videos. It's highly educational and entertaining.
Well, basically, you know, what I love to do is I love to teach beginners, you know, and kind of foster that initial passion for it. So a lot of the videos are going to be very beginner of like, okay, we've got this chord. Now, how can we build the coordination to get to the next chord and to build the confidence? So it's right now with Fender, I do a lot of tutorials. So actual songs playing pretty much anything mm-hmm. that you want. I think I'm doing Salt and Pepper tomorrow. Salt and Pepper. Salt and Pepper tomorrow. And like Vance Joy and stuff like that. Mm. But on my own channel right now, I'm taking the approach of, or I'm trying to integrate like mindfulness, but also a really specific way that you can learn technique at any level and not to be afraid of technique or theory or something like that. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times when we start to learn, we learn a couple chords. We got like our G, we got our D, you know, and it sounds good. But we do this like, and then pause, 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 pause. Right? And then, and we're like, well, we can't really play a song. So I'm showing you, okay, like this is how you start to build the coordination in your fingers, and it has nothing to do with, like we were talking about yesterday, like the music gods bestowing some talent or something on you. It's all about training. That's it. That's it. So it's a lot of that and really working on the mindset of the instrument and how you approach it. So it's more than just, and here's this chord, and here's this chord, and here's this chord. Because the thing that stops people from doing anything, you know, and including playing guitar, is their mindset mm-hmm. towards it. Majority of the time. It's they don't believe they can do it. They put up roadblocks in their way. They don't even start. Mm-hmm. You know, all these things that go, it has nothing to do with your physical capability. And I'm trying to dispel all these myths about how you can get good at music or how you can be, what's the word I'm looking for? How you can be passionate or uplifted by music or really be in a creative process with music that will take you further than you ever thought you could go. But it's really, it's about changing your mindset more than getting your fingers to hit the right chords.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And when we talked about that, I know you said too, it's also something just, and you touched on it briefly earlier, like not just in music too, that in all aspects of people's lives, like yeah. you help them see through that, see through some things that might be blocking them or things that they're scared of.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what you have to address. And then, and it's like, also, I feel like for a long, long time, I kind of used my own experience to like victimize myself of like, see, I'm not talented at it. It doesn't come easy to me. Like, that's why I can't do it. You know, like all the things that we kind of say to stay in that of like, see, mm-hmm. see, look, it's just reinforcing my belief that I'm not good enough. That's how I talk in my head. Me. Me. It's really fun to be around me. That's why my cat is my best friend, because he can't understand what I'm saying. I totally
the power of, you know, pushing through and getting out of our own mental blocks and things.
Yes. So it really, it wasn't until the videos, starting to do the videos, that I realized how powerful my learning experience was, because everything that I've learned, I've had to fight to learn, right? It didn't come easy. I had to figure it out, like chip it away to the smallest possible grain for me to be able to understand it. And so when I started doing the videos and when I started teaching, it made sense to me to work with beginners, because then I was like, I remember that feeling. Like I remember that feeling with this D chord, and I talk about it a lot, of like my middle finger would not stay down. I remember that. I remember being in my room with like my Cranberries and my Alanis Morissette posters, Joan Osborne over here, some Marilyn Manson back here. So starting to get a little rebellious. But I remember like having to hold my poor middle finger down, and as it was shaking and just being like, just stay, and then it'd come off. I'm like, just please stay. So I never lost that sense for what it felt like to be a beginner. Mm-hmm. And so then it became easy for me to break stuff down for people, because I just remembered it, because I had to go through it and still have to go through it every time I practice. So that's when it became something that ended up being such a blessing to me, and that kind of took the victim thing
out of it. Yeah. Away.
Yeah.
Are there any tips that you see common problems, like when people begin, like, oh yeah, these are the like maybe three things they all try to do wrong, or like something that you learn, or some advice that you give to newbies?
The big thing is stay relaxed. So a lot of the times what people want to do is they want to, you know, grab the neck like a baseball bat, because it's about control. They think they have to control the neck and just like, okay, I'm going to, you know, I got this. But really, it's dropping your hand down and having this space here and knowing that all the energy is like coming from your hand, not your forearm, not your shoulder, not coming in like that. So really, it's about learning to relax. And same with your picking hand. Now, the big thing with picking is that everybody wants to, like, same thing, like grab the pick and just muscle it, you know, muscle it with their forearm. And I would love to encourage people to just try to stay relaxed more than try to go fast and muscle through it. Because this, to me, sounds better than kind of doing the, sorry if this is going to be loud, but kind of doing the like, right? If you have control, if you have relaxation, it's going to sound better. So I'd say just try to relax everything and breathe and make sure that you're only holding the pick with the thumb and the first finger. That's big. And please, no planting. Try not to plant right here, because again, like, people just want to control what's happening. Say it's going to be a lot easier in the end. Like with anything, if you just relax, most likely it's going to be easier, right?
Yeah.
Stuck in traffic, just try to relax. Like, whatever it is.
Right.
Having a fight with your partner, just relax. Playing guitar, just relax. Yeah. So,
Great tips, everybody. So now you work with Fender. Do you have, let's talk a little bit more about that.
Oh, like
exactly kind of things Fender. You do for them. And I think you get to try all different types of guitars and ukuleles and things with them. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk. Tell us about that. That's got to be fun.
Oh my gosh. Fender. I just love Fender so much. They treat me so well. Fender came about 6 years ago, and they saw me through the videos from Mahalo and asked me to do some demos for them. So I did this whole series with the Squire guitars when they did all the mods for them. And that was just like, I was crying in the hotel room. I was crying on the plane. I was crying when I got the email when it said, you know, so-and-so from Fender, just like, what on earth is happening? What is happening? And, then they would call me, you know, every once in a while to do some demos, like acoustic demos or whatever. And then they started this, they released this line of guitars, which is the Paramount series. And I got to be the brand ambassador for that for 2 years. Again, just like, okay, cool. And then you know, they started Fender Play. And because of my teaching experience, I got to be one of the first couple teachers along with this guy, Dave Nassie and Matt Lake. And we got to kind of be the guinea pigs for how they were going to start shooting content, you know, teaching content. And again, it's such an honor to work with them. And then they asked me to do ukulele. And there's several other teachers that are just incredible that really care about teaching. We're also, it's not just like, you know how sometimes you hear people talk about teaching, and maybe especially with music, we're like, I'll just teach until this. These men and women teach because like we love it. We're obsessed with it. We're obsessed with helping people and understanding how to be better at what we do. And so just, they've assembled such an incredible team of people doing Fender Play. Like I said, it's such an honor to do that with them.
Tell everybody where they can watch those or how they can find those.
So you can go to fenderplay.com, and right now there's like a 30-day free trial. So it's all course based. So it's not just, you know, on YouTube, just tons of videos of like, learn this song. And I'm guilty of that too. But what Fender's doing that's totally different is that it's course-based as well. So you can be completely like out of the box, never played, and it starts you on your course or on your path of like understanding you've never played anything and getting you the terminology. So if you go to Fender Play, I think there's 30 days free and learn how to play songs. I say just try it. If you've ever wanted to do it and it's free, just like go try it. The teachers are great. And oh, you know what's great about it also is they have a Facebook community that once you join Fender Play, so you can, it's a closed community that all the teachers and everybody who works at Fender in that department are on. So if you have questions, if you need to reach out, or just like, I'm struggling with this chord, we're all there answering questions. That's awesome. So it's not just like, here's a bunch of videos. Good luck. Yeah. Bye. It's like we have a real-time community that and that are also helping each other.
That's wonderful because I think it's always great to be able to have resources like that where you can, you know, because it's like fine to watch something, but sometimes it's nice to just be able to go at, like, hey, Jen, I'm struggling with this. What do you recommend? Or, you know, to have that more personal interaction with people is great.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you can still do it at your own pace. But then just check in, you know, and you know, that I would have done if I would have had Fender Play when I was 13, that would have been like perfect for me.
But isn't it great for you? Like looking back, like you said, you were like introvert and scared to do, but because you like put yourself out there and did those things that this dream company of yours then found you because you were willing to put yourself out there on those YouTube tutorials and just keep going. You know, I'm sure there's times you were like, oh, that sucked or that wasn't good, but you just kept doing it and somebody noticed and
You can't talk to me like that because I'll start to cry. I can't.
I just love stories like that because it's like, you know, I love when people fight through, you know, fight through things. And you could have quit. You could have stopped. You could have been like, oh, that one sucked. What am I doing? I suck at this, you know, and you just kept doing it. And then finally now here you land one of your dream companies and you get to do this fun, amazing stuff with them.
Yeah. Like I can't talk too much about it because I absolutely will cry. Yeah. But it's surreal to me because, again, like no natural talent. I'm from, you know, Wheat Ridge, Colorado. You know, my mom pretty much raised me on her own. You know, like she was a nurse. She was a nurse for 20 years and then built up her own life to be able to support me to build my life. Mm-hmm. And then like I came out just like so naive and green to LA. Not very good. Not very good at all. You know, I went to school for music and really, really struggled. And I just got lucky because I had people that kind of caught me, because there were definitely times, there were some very big moments in my life where I said, I'm done. I'm tapping out. You know, LA is hard.
Yeah.
LA is really hard. It's so rewarding, but you got to have a strong stomach and thick skin to be able to deal with the ups and the downs.
It can
beat
you down. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And there were times where I'm like, I'm ready. I'm tapping out. And something came along. It was just like, maybe not right now. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That's how they get you too. This town does that. Just about when you're ready to like be off, forget it. It's like,
beep, yeah, beep. A little email you're comes like,
oh,
in.
You're or just sign.
Like, yep. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I love about this city. Yeah, but again, like I'm so lucky to have been able to learn the lessons that I needed to get better. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your touring as well, because you just got off a big tour and so let's talk about more your actually live shows and that tour.
Yeah, oh my gosh, this was an incredible experience. I got to tour with Adore Delano, and she was on American Idol and Drag Race. And this was top five best experiences I've ever had in my whole career. We got to go to the UK and I think we had 7 shows, and I mean, her fans are just incredible, like incredibly supportive, incredibly warm. They love her, but they're so passionate about her and her music. And I love the music. It's like late 90s, early 2000 rock. Cool. Did you listen to it?
Did you listen to it?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So that's like, it's funny to me because I'm older than she is. So it's like there that generation is like learning about the 90s. It's like I was there when that. You know, so it's kind of fun to feel like I'm reliving my formative years in music with people who are discovering like this kind of music and this kind of rock. And man, it was just great, and I really felt like she supported me to be the kind of player that is just big and, you know, because I can't
just
outshine her.
Big, yeah.
There's no way. There's nothing I can do outside of, like, lighting myself on fire that's going to outshine her. And that feels great for me because then I can go big and know that I'm not stepping on what she's doing or, like, taking anything away from her, because she's one of the most incredible performers I've ever worked with. So it's fantastic. And Sherman was a bass player and Kenny was a drummer, and they've been working together for a long time, and I just felt so accepted and like right off the bat, because you don't know. You know, like I met them like a week before. You don't know what they're gonna be like in the van, or you know.
Yeah,
it's not just like, okay, I'll see you tomorrow for the next. It's like you guys are together.
Yeah.
And I just felt very supported and very like, no, go for it. You want to spin around and do all this stuff, do it. And like I said, the audiences were crazy. The last show was in London, sold out, 800 people. I've never heard screaming that loud in my entire life. I had earplugs on and it was still hurting just standing on the stage. And it was really cool because one of my friends that has known me just about the same amount of time as you saw me and Abby play, like when we were just starting out, was at that show. And so it was like, she knows. So we were laughing afterwards of like, she knows the road that I went on, that this, whatever this thing is that I am right now, took a long time to get there, because she saw when I wouldn't look at the audience, and, you know, now I'm like sticking my tongue out, soloing, putting my foot on the monitors and stuff like that. So that it was really cool to be able to look at somebody who has been there for a long time and go like,
see your growth.
I'm just a nerd. I don't know what's going on. How did this happen? So yeah, I would encourage everybody to, especially if you like rock, check out Adore Delano's whatever album. Mm-hmm. She's got some good dance albums too, but man, this, the whatever album, I love it. I love it.
Who are some of your other musical inspirations?
Oh man, you know, the one I always go back to is Lindsey Buckingham, the, you know, guitar player for Fleetwood Mac. He's so underrated, and I think he's just fantastic. I try to emulate his soloing style, especially a lot. Because what I love about his playing is that he knows how to serve the song. He's not just like... And he knew how to support Stevie Nicks, and he knew that when it wasn't his time to play. And I love that element, and I don't think he gets enough credit because he knew when to step back. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really special. So yeah, and jazz influencer, jazz blues, Kenny Burrell. Oh my God, I just want to play like Kenny Burrell. But those are the, I love, like, I still love singer-songwriters. Like, that's what I grew up on. I love it. I'm working with this artist, Mary Lee Ruin, who is incredible. She's an incredible singer-songwriter, guitar player, and just... it's the same thing that drew me to Abby. Like, I love powerful female singers that are a little bit quirky or a little bit, you know, like, not like the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Karen O, and, you know, things like that. Or even Cyndi Lauper was like the first one. Cyndi Lauper was one of the first records I ever got. So that kind of quirky, doesn't fit the mold entirely, but still like in your face, that is my jam.
Who would be, if you had your dream of one person to play with?
Oh man, if I had one, you know, the bummer is, we're gonna take this down a little bit, but the bummer is I really wanted to play with Cranberries, and you know, she passed away, and I don't normally get very emotional about celebrities passing away, because I don't know them, you know, but I cried for 2 days about that because she was so influential, and I wouldn't be playing if it wasn't for that band and her. And again, quirky female lead singer that did something totally different. So I think also part of my grief was that I kind of hoped at one point, like, I would be able to play with them, or at least like tell her thank you or something like that. But man, to be honest, anybody that would just love to play with me, like, want to play with him. Yeah, and the, like I said, playing with Adore, that's going to be a high standard
for the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk a little style here, because I know you've said a little bit how you had the long hair and how it evolved. So let's talk the choice and how it felt like when you cut your hair short, and let's talk about some of these tasks.
Yeah, sure. I can talk about this all day. Is this interview going to be like 6 hours long?
Yes,
this is great. You're my favorite person to talk to. Hey. Just talk about the things I like.
It's all about you, everything you like. We should have brought your cat in here. We
could have your cat too all night. Just hold him. Be like... This is amazing. the style evolution?
Yeah.
What happened? I don't really know. I blame Abby for the tattoos, because the first tattoo I got was our little album.
I remember when I saw that in a picture, because I had that album.
Yes. Yep. Yes. So that was the first one. She always wanted a tattoo. I never did. And she really wanted to get one for our first tour. And I was like, okay, you know, I really love our album artwork that was drawn by Adam Jeffries, and I was like, okay, cool, let's go ahead and do it. And then we got it, and we were sitting driving to the next show, and she's like, are you okay? I said, oh yeah, I'm thinking about what I'm gonna get next. So then I blame Abby Miller. I blame you Abby.
Did she get the same one?
No, she got a song title. She got Be Still. So I blame Abby for all of my tattoos. And that's what I tell my mom, too, that it's Abby's fault. But yeah, just kind of, it just, I'm addicted to it.
Are they all animal or some sort of animal?
They're not quite. There's some design things, but it's a lot of animal. I don't know why. I don't know. I just like animals. They're quiet.
They're awesome. Animals are the best.
They don't question
it. Right. And they're just love. Just pure love.
They're just love. Exactly. Yeah. And then with the hair, you know, I think part of it was that when I came out to LA, I was still very much hiding who I was because I wanted to be the one to say who I was without somebody like reading me. And so I grew my hair out really long and I liked that for a while, but also it was a crutch because I wanted to hide. I wanted mm-hmm. to disappear. So kind of like as I came to as a performer, the hair started getting shorter and shorter and shorter because I used to just have short hair when I was a kid. I was made fun of for it, but also I had bad haircuts and I shaved the side of my head myself. So it wasn't entirely, wasn't entirely their fault for I was a weird looking kid. But yeah, as I kind of came into my own, the mm-hmm. style just started to happen. And then I got the mohawk and I'm going to be real with you. Okay.
Okay. Gonna be yes, please
totally
do.
Real with you. The original mohawk was because somebody had broken up with me. And so
motivation. Yeah.
I wanted to impress them and get them.
Revenge haircuts, you know? Yeah. They're like the revenge look, of course.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm keeping it real for you.
Love
that
it.
It wasn't, this was not just like divine intervention of like, yeah. Now I'm coming into my own. It was definitely like, well, if I do this, then she'll think I'm cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That didn't happen. That did not happen. But
you're better off without that, you know?
Yes, that is very true. I'm sorry to any of my exes, but I just... It's true. You're better off without me as well. But, yeah, it's just kind of like going for it, mm-hmm. even if it was a weirdo ex move. And then the hair kind of came as the videos were really getting popular. And I kind of felt different in a good way. Like I was finally ready to stand out mm-hmm. a little bit more. And then it just kind of progressed yeah. from there. But it is, yeah, it just took, oh, I don't know, 12 years.
Yeah. Everything's a process, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is those big life things like that that fortunately do push us into change and push us into, you know, maybe coming out of sadness. Sometimes some great things mm-hmm. happen that we maybe wouldn't have pushed ourselves into trying or attempting or doing had that not happened.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
So you found your look and found you through found all that, right?
Well, and I have incredible people that, you know, cut my hair and give me tattoos that are very good at what they do. Mm-hmm. So they make me look better. You know, everybody's like, oh, I love your tattoos. I'm like, I had nothing to do with it. I just sat there. So yeah, that's the tattoos and the hair.
All right. Well, I think we're just about out of time, but I want to ask a couple more things before we go. So I think we touched on... Oh, I wanted to ask. You also played with Malin Ackerman?
Malin,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. I wanted to hear about that. That was on my notes. I'm like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Malin has been a friend of mine for a long time. And she put together this like little project. We got to play. Oh my God. I'm totally spacing out. The big film festival in Utah.
Sundance.
Yeah. We got to play Sundance. And then we did this other like benefit show. And she is such a lovely person. And just very, very grateful for her and grateful mm-hmm. that I got to work with her because we had been friends before because I played with her husband at the time. Mm-hmm. He was a drummer and just like so loving and so kind and like, you know, like when you meet people and you really want them to be, you know, something special
yeah.
and then they're not, you know, yes. like a celebrity or something like that or somebody in a field that you respect.
Yeah, or who you've looked up to or have seen a lot and you yeah. think, yeah, yeah.
And she is like all of that. Awesome. And then some. So mm-hmm. it was just a joy because she's just fun. So same thing, like we was just like got to play music for fun, mm-hmm. you know, and create something with people that I really loved and had been friends with for mm-hmm. years. So, yeah, she's lovely.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so we talked about it. So just to make it clear, too, for people who want to see your videos on your own and not with Fender, they can see those at silverpickmusic.com?
Yes, you can go check those out. And yeah, so there's still stuff up on Mahalo. So just like how to play just about any song, especially from like 6 years ago. And then I'm still uploading new stuff. Again, it's kind of more based on like technique. So like for song videos, I'd go to Fender Play. But if you're like looking to really challenge your technique or learn some beginner theory, that kind of stuff, then that's all there. And okay. I'm really wanting to dive more into, like I said, like the mindfulness and fixing mm-hmm. this. Because once this gets fixed, this is a lot easier to deal with. So mm-hmm. I really want to expand that approach.
That's great. That's great. Any other advice for people looking to play?
Just go for it. Just go for it. There's so many resources out there to help you. And I'm going to look at the camera. I'm going to get resources now.
Do it.
Okay. You have the ability to do it. Like I said, if I can do it coming from ground zero, anybody can do it. And it actually doesn't take that much effort. It's really like, if you have 5 to 10 minutes every other day, you will make such an enormous amount of progress. Like you wouldn't even believe. So just go for it. Don't wait. Don't wait, because you know, I always say, like, look, how many times are you on Instagram? How many times are you on Facebook? You know, when people are busy and they're inundated with stuff and it feels chaotic, but if you have time to do that, like I'm on Plants vs. Zombies quite a bit. So I know I have more time to practice, but it's like you have mm-hmm. that time. And if you have that 5 minutes to do the thing that can potentially really enrich your life, or even enrich your life by like 5%, because why wouldn't you want that 5%, you know, just go for it. And that there's help, and that you can learn the way that you need to learn. You don't have to subscribe to anybody else's learning style. You can learn the way that you need to, mm-hmm. and you've got this. You've got this. You can do it.
And I think that's a wrap on that note. Boom. Those beautiful words. Drop the mic.
Drop
the Bebo phone.
Slam the guitar.
Yeah.
And we're done. Rock and roll, everybody.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it. Thank you so much. You're so awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Can't wait to see what's next. Can't wait to see all the next videos. Maybe someday you'll inspire me to actually spend
time.
I would love to learn. Maybe I'll face my fear.
Come on.
I know. It's
Come
so beautiful.
On. It's if I see you up on Instagram, I'm going to be like,
what you doing? I know, right? 5 minutes. All right. Tell everybody again one last time where they can follow you everywhere socially.
You find me, Jen Tranny, on Instagram, Jen Needs a Nap on Twitter, and Jen Tranny Official on Facebook.
Woohoo! All right, Jen! Yeah!
Clap for me! Clap for me! I need validation!
All right, guys, and we're here every Tuesday. We'll see you here again next week. You can follow the show at Tom Girl TV, and I'm also at JJ Jurgens. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz
later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.